And you are tuned in to CKLN 88.1 FM. We are broadcasting from Ryerson University in Toronto. It is 6 p.m. on this Friday, well, 6.04 p.m. on this Friday, January the 14th, 2011. And this is your word of mouth news for tonight. I'm Kristen Schwartz, and Susie Alvarez had a transit delay but is on her way down. At 6:30 tonight, Don Weitz is going to be joining us in studio. But first, we have international and national news, primarily international this week. And so these are the headlines for tonight. Susie is joining us in the studio, so she'll be joining us with the headlines. These are thanks in part to Democracy Now!, Labour Start, Al Jazeera, and a little bit from the CBC and Associated Press tonight. Tunisia's president, Zine Abdine Ben Ali, fled his country tonight after mass protests over the past month against unemployment, police brutality, and government repression. At least 60 people are believed to have been killed in the unrest. Today's demonstrations continued after Ben Ali offered unprecedented concessions, including a vow to not seek a fourth term for 2014, to allow political freedom, to refrain from censorship of sites like YouTube, to end police brutality, and cut the prices of food staples. But those promises were not enough to quell the protests, and today Prime Minister Mohamed Ghannouchi has announced to the country that he has taken over as interim president.
And in the Ivory Coast, the United Nations is accusing forces loyal to incumbent President Laurent Gbagbo of attacking its vehicles. On Thursday, the UN official said six vehicles were targeted, including an ambulance whose driver and doctor were injured. Gbagbo has refused to step down after a disputed November 29th election. His rival, Alassane Ouattara, is widely believed to have won the vote. According to the United Nations, more than 200 people have died and some 20,000 have fled to neighboring Liberia as a result of post-election violence.
And in Sudan, officials who are monitoring the week-long referendum on Southern Sudan's future say that turnout has reached the required threshold to make the result binding. Residents of Southern Sudan are expected to vote to split from the mostly Muslim north.
And in Brazil, the death toll from landslides and flooding in an area near Rio de Janeiro has surpassed 500. Many more people are feared to be dead in areas where a month's worth of rain fell in less than 24 hours. At least 13,500 people have been left homeless after flooding destroyed their homes.
And next we go to Japan with labor news. The government is reforming its civil services. Government workers are currently denied the right to strike and given very limited basic rights on labor. In compensation for those limited rights, their salaries are determined based on recommendations made by the National Personnel Authority to bring them in line with those offered in the private sector. The government, led by the Democratic Party of Japan, earlier said that it intends to abolish the current system, allowing wage negotiations between government workers and their employees from the fiscal year beginning in April 2012. And the government's goal is to get the union to accept further wage cuts in the coming years. In return, the government originally said it would recognize the right to strike for government workers following that. But the government announced on Sunday that it's changed its mind and no longer intends to expand government workers' rights in exchange for expected concessions.
And in Lebanon, Saad al-Hariri, Lebanon's caretaker prime minister, has vowed to work with Michael Sleeman, the president, on forming a new government after the Hezbollah movement forced the collapse of his coalition government. He returned to Beirut today after talks in the United States, France, and Turkey aimed at rallying support for his March 14th alliance. 11 ministers from the opposition March 8 alliance, led by the Shia Muslim Hezbollah, withdrew from the cabinet to bring down the government on Wednesday. Jamal Wakim, a professor at the Lebanese International University, told Al Jazeera that the crisis is very serious for the first time since 2008. Quote, we have a big division in the country We have no talks going on between the March 8 and March 14 groups, unquote. He said that it was unlikely that the opposition will be able to form a government on its own, as it lacked the number of parliamentary seats required, but warned that violence could break out if the crisis continues.
Speaking of violence, we go next to the United States, to Tucson, Arizona, where the funeral was held today for U.S. District Judge John Roll. He was shot and killed on Saturday, along with five others. And authorities say that the shooter, 22-year-old Jared Longner, was targeting Democratic Representative Gabrielle Giffords. She was wounded. Security was tight at Roll's funeral today. Meanwhile, doctors treating Representative Giffords of Arizona say that she continues to make remarkable presence in her recovery.
And the deadly shooting in Tucson has now deterred a nearby gun show from continuing as scheduled exactly 1 week later. Organizers of the Crossroads of the West gun show said that their event will proceed at a site just 30 miles from where the shooting took place. Crossroads logo depicts a crosshairs inside the letter O of gun show.
U.S. Vice President Joseph Biden has reaffirmed a U.S. pledge to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq by the end of the year. Yesterday, he met top Iraqi officials in Baghdad for the first time since Iraqi lawmakers agreed on a new government last year. He told the Iraqi government the United States is committed to meeting a status of forces agreement that calls for a full U.S. withdrawal this year. But new details have emerged on U.S. plans to maintain a massive presence in Iraq for years to come. The Washington Post reports that the Obama administration plans to maintain a force of up to 8,000 private military contractors. The United States would also retain control over several major bases and a large portion of Baghdad's so-called Green Zone. The United States also wants to retain control of a rocket detection system, a large compound near the Baghdad airport, and to build new consulates in Basra near the oil-rich Iraqi south.
And the U.S. military is denying it is holding the alleged military whistleblower Bradley Manning in solitary confinement. A U.S. Army private, Manning has been held at the U.S. Marine Corps brig at Quantico, Virginia, since July on suspicion of leaking classified documents to WikiLeaks. Manning's attorney has claimed his confinement violates a military rule against quote-unquote pretrial punishment, and friends and family say Manning's mental and physical health has declined. But speaking to the New York Times military spokesperson, Colonel T.V. Johnson rejected the allegation as poppycock. He added, quote, Manning's treatment is firm, fair, and respectful, unquote. Johnson said Manning is allowed to speak with guards and prisoners in nearby cells, although he's not allowed to see them. He also acknowledged Manning is confined to his cell for 23 hours each day. WikiLeaks, meanwhile, has announced it has donated $15,000 to Manning's defense fund. The figure is less than half the $50,000 initially pledged to Manning last year. In a statement, the Bradley Manning Support Network, which has previously criticized WikiLeaks for not following through on its pledges, said, quote, this donation from WikiLeaks is vital to our efforts to ensure Bradley receives a fair and open trial, unquote.
And activists will be protesting in support of WikiLeaks in Vancouver, Calgary, and Montreal tomorrow as part of an international day of action called by the group Anonymous. The Anonymous group has coordinated denial-of-service attacks against the websites of large corporations that have cut ties to WikiLeaks, crippling its operations and fundraising efforts. According to a release from the group, WikiLeaks has moved to fill the void left by traditional news media, providing the necessary information for citizens to hold their governments to account. Yet it has not been granted the legal protections generally afforded to journalists. Instead, the organization has been vilified and monetary support has been blocked by governments and private corporations. Members of a free society must not allow information to be suppressed simply because it inconveniences those in power. We share the responsibility to defend vital liberties. The time to act is now. And in Vancouver and Calgary, the demonstrations are being called by the Pirate Party of Canada. Go to pirateparty.ca to find out more.
That brings us to an end of today's headlines. We're going to go to a musical break, and then after that, we're going to hopefully have on the line Ryan Sin, who is the campaign director for the Fair World Project, a campaign spearheaded by the Organic Consumers Association in the United States. Ryan has worked in the food justice movement for 15 years with nonprofits such as the Center for International Environmental Law, Friends of the Earth Paraguay, Global Exchange, and the OCA. He will join us today via phone to speak about the OCA's most recent action in response to Transfer USA's plans to change its name to Fairtrade USA, as well as to have it trademarked. The OCA and its allies are opposing what they see as an attempt to legally claim as an exclusive brand, a term that encompasses a broad movement. So keep it locked on 88.1 FM, and you're listening to this Friday's Word of Mouth News. And in just a second, we'll be playing for you some music courtesy of artist Lila Downs.
A simple man in a foreign land. Every day he worked for today, for the future he cannot see. He's living the real world underneath his skin. Got an inch you need to find, real woman to stay alive. Big money don't count for a happy life. Little man with a big heart, make a happy wife. Money don't come for a happy life. Little man with a big heart, make a happy wife. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. For a simple fate, work is good, pay is okay. All she wants is a man who let her in his heart one day. Big money don't come for a happy life. Little man with a big heart, make a happy wife. I said, big money don't come for a happy life. Little man with a big heart, make a happy wife.
And thanks for keeping it locked on 88.1 FM. This is CKLN. You're tuning into Word of Mouth News for this Friday, January the 14th. My name is Susie Alvarez. And tonight's special feature, the fair trade movement began to come into existence in the 50s when religious groups and politically progressive NGOs attempted to develop a fair trade supply chain between northern markets and southern producers of crafts. In the 1960s, more substantial and structured initiatives began to take shape, which led to the strengthening of a movement that has spread all over the world and that now encompasses agricultural crops such as coffee, cacao, and bananas, as well as textiles, soccer balls, carpets, and other items. In North America, the fair trade movement counts with the participation of hundreds of organizations and small businesses, thousands of fair trade movement of conscious consumers, and countless of dedicated advocates who support an approach to trade that is based on dialogue, transparency, and respect, and with the aim to create greater equity in the international economic system. Transfer USA, the licensing body in the country and the counterpart of Canada's Transfer here, is currently in the process of changing its name to Fairtrade USA and apply for the name to be trademarked. Many feel that such an umbrella phrase attempts to legally claim as an exclusive brand a term that encompasses a broad movement far beyond the specific work or function the organization performs. Today we have on the line Ryan Zinn, who's the campaign director for the Fair World Project, a campaign spearheaded by the Organic Consumers Association in the U.S. Ryan has worked in the food justice movement for 15 years with nonprofits and is currently employed with the OCA. He joins us this evening to speak about the organization's most recent action in response to Transfer USA's plans to change its name to Fairtrade USA. So thanks, Ryan, for joining us. Can you hear us? Can you hear us, Ryan? Are you with us? We're gonna try to see if we can get Ryan on the line, because we seem to have a problem here. We had him on hold. So just to give you a bit of a background, the OCA put together this campaign, and it's for an immediate release, press release that was just circulated on January the 10th with a pretty comical tagline and pretty appropriate: Earth to Transfer. Fair trade is a movement, not a brand. It's calling out for consumers, advocates, companies, and other organizations to join forces and stop Transfer USA from actually going forward in changing its name to Fairtrade USA, which is a name and a term that it's way too broad in general. It's basically branding the whole movement. And I think, as the OCA and their allies clearly put it, Fairtrade, it's not a brand, but it's a movement that brings together many people who have dedicated and committed a lot of time and a lot of energy for many years in bringing some equity into what we know as trade. So we're going to continue to try to get Ryan on the phone. In the meantime, I'm going to give you the website address so that if you feel inclined to join in with this petition, this action, you sign it up. And you can go to www.organicconsumers.org/transferusa/. The OCA is also involved in another campaign, and this campaign is actually a complaint that they're putting forward to the Federal Trade Commission in the U.S., and is to launch an investigation of deceptive practices in advertising and labeling of certain fair trade certified personal care products. We think we have Ryan on the line, so I'm crossing my fingers here.
Ryan, hi there, Susie. Can you hear me? Hello?
Maybe not. I can hear him faintly. Maybe if we take him off the auxiliary. Can you hear us now?
I can hear you now.
Oh, good, good. I can hear you too. It's coming very faint, but we're going to try to have a go at this.
Alrighty.
So I just gave some details about the campaign. Can you explain to our audience what are the reasons behind this opposition on the part of the LCA and its allies in response to Transfer's proposed name change?
Well, we're really concerned about Transfer's move to change their name to Fairtrade USA, not just because the name is kind of overarching and really represents a larger movement here in the United States and across the world that's dedicated to fair trade, but what they've gone ahead to do is attempted to get that trademarked as well as the term Fair Trade Certified. which basically does, this is like a legal claim which would give them exclusive rights to this brand, so to speak. And so what we're trying to let Transfair know is that fair trade is part of a larger movement, and it's not a brand, so to speak, that just corresponds to one agency. And so what we're doing right now is really letting our network and folks dedicated to fair trade know about this change and want to educate them on that, and also provide them with the opportunity to send Transfair USA a short little note reminding them about the roots of fair trade. And so far we've had over 8,000 people send them an email in the last 4 days.
And is this the first time that Transfair USA has attempted to change its name?
Correct. This is the first time, really Transfair, as well as Transfair Canada, they're all basically under the umbrella of FLO, which is a fair labeling organization. And really what FLO is trying to do is to really try to consolidate their work at the national level. And so I believe Transfair Canada will also be changing their name to Fair Trade Canada here pretty soon. And really our biggest question is that we want to make sure that for consumers that they're well informed and educated that, that fair trade is not just one, certifying body, but in fact a larger movement. And if you happen to buy a really reputable fair trade item, whether it's coffee or a craft that doesn't happen to have the trademark fair trade certified on it, and more than likely it will in fact be fair trade. We want to make sure that there is space and openness for all producers and for all retailers and consumers to participate in this fair economy.
So the Fair Trade Labeling Organization is actually supportive of Transfair's action. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. And really, we're really concerned that we don't want FLO or any of the national affiliates like Transfair USA to try to kind of squeeze down the opportunity for all of us to participate in fair trade. And there's actually many other certifiers and certifications out there as regard to fair trade. There's one called IMO, the Institute for Market Ecology, and their Fair for Life program. And there's a number of roasters, coffee roasters, for example, that have moved over to that certifying body. And we want to make sure that there's an opportunity for consumers to be educated and to make, the right choice when they're in the marketplace, and really to realize that, one brand, one certifier doesn't necessarily have a monopoly over fair trade.
Transfair USA in the past has some anger, independent, fully 100% certified fair traders in the U.S. When it decided to certify corporate shops and corporate initiatives. What has been the reaction of corporate licensees under the Transfair umbrella to this action to change their name and trademark it?
I think in terms of this probably move has been, something that has been pushed by the larger corporate entities that have looked to take advantage of fair trade labeling to really, quote-unquote, fair wash their brand. Because in the case of, like, Starbucks, for example, or Sam's Club or Sainsbury in the U.K., what they're doing is actually only certifying a very small or minute amount of their overall product line as fair trade, and then they're able to use that fair trade signage, all over the place and in their marketing materials, even though a small percentage of their actual product is fair trade. Meanwhile, there's a number of roasters and fair trade producers and retailers and wholesalers that have really worked hard over the years to dedicate their entire line of production to fair trade. And really what this is doing is really leaving them out in the cold while, a Starbucks out there will be able to take advantage of, using only fair trade, basically sourcing only about, 5 to 10, up in some cases 12% of their product is fair trade, but be able to use that label and that marketing signage pretty much throughout their store.
Have Southern producers caught wind of what's happening in the North with regards to this action on the part of Fairtrade USA, and what has been their response?
We've already had a couple of responses back from producers throughout the underdeveloped world. We actually have a couple of fair trade organizations in Palestine, for example, Canaan Fair Trade, signed on to our letter to Transfair. And really what we're looking for, to help with the producers is to provide an open space for them to be able to get their products to market, but in a way that is not controlled or monopolized by one agency or one group. So I think this is something that will continually, raise concern both for producers and consumers alike, and we hope to shed some more light on the situation.
And the OCA has also joined forces with Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps to request the Federal Trade Commission to launch an investigation on deceptive practices in advertising and labeling of certain Fair Trade certified personal care products. Can you talk a little bit about this other action and campaign?
Certainly. I think in this particular case, fair trade is kind of growing and evolving, and at least in the United States, the organic, labeling and standards requirements are a little bit more advanced and a little bit more developed, so they're quite a bit more strict. And I think in our case, what we've noticed that consumers have become to look at the USDA organic seal as something that they can trust, and is in most cases the majority of the ingredients are in fact organic. However, in the case of Transfair is licensing its seals basically for a fee on products and brands that have, as little as 2% fair trade content. And we see the most egregious cases in the body care, the personal care sector, where you've got brands like Queen Helene and Avon, which they're only, in some cases, using about 2% of their actual ingredients are fair trade, yet they're still using that fair trade label on the front of their products. So the average consumer, unless they're really going, hard into the investigation of a product, will think that the product is 100% or majority fair trade. And so what we've done is we filed a complaint jointly with Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps to the Federal Trade Commission for them to review, Transfair's labeling requirements to address this appropriately.
Well, thank you, Ryan, for joining us today. But before we go, I wanted you to tell our listeners what is the web address where they can go if they want to sign the petition or if they want to find more information about the campaign and they want to endorse it.
Certainly, they can visit organicconsumers.org. It's all one word. In the front of our homepage, you'll see our press release from this week, which is entitled Earth to Transfair. Fair Trade is a movement, not a brand. And we also have under our alerts, tell Transfair that Fair Trade is a movement, not a brand. And you'll be able to read the entire FTC complaint there, as well as send a letter to Transfair as well.
And as you explained it before, this move does not only concern the U.S., but it also concerns every other country where there is a licensing body. So your campaign is open for endorsement from anyone, right? Not just
Certainly.
People in the U.S. Okay, well, great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Susie.
Have a good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And that was Ryan Sin, who's the campaign director for the Fair World Project. If you want to learn more about what the work they're doing in the U.S., you can check them out at www.fairworldproject.org. And if you
to enter a new destination number, press 1.
The petition, you can visit, once again, www.organicconsumers.org/transferUSA. You've been listening to Word of Mouth News for this Friday, January the 14th. My name is Susie Alvarez, and I'm here with Kristen Schwartz. We're going to go to a quick musical break, and coming right after that is Don White's and Anti-Psychiatry Radio.
Traveled 700 miles across the border to the States with a plastic bottle running. Cross the desert in a shake. Come to English-only country, hiding from the Minutemen. Come to make this place my home. Run a long, long way from there. Story of a lifetime for the minimum wage. Well, they chase me through the desert, then the agents strap me down. Then they ask me why in Spanish, why you keep on coming back? Well, I left my dad in Jersey and my sisters in Des Moines. They've been working in this country, picking lettuce, washing floors. Story of a lifetime. I washed the dishes fast. Well, the boss, he got me working on the porch and in the bed. Then I wash the dish and rinse it. Then I go